We're not the only church in town. We're not the only church praising God in this time zone. In fact, when we woke up this morning, there were people praising God already throughout the world. We're some of the last people to praise God in the world. Did you know that? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. It's great to be here with you. My name is Trevor. I live in Nanaimo. I've been there for 8 years now and have good memories of serving alongside your pastors in different events and conferences and just with the New Spay Camp and all those different wonderful places that we've been able to connect. And yeah, great people. And I'll talk to them about them a little bit more in my message, but just love and appreciate their hearts for God, and they want to see a move of God, amen? And I know that's your heart's desire today, too, that this world needs a move of God, and God is moving. I'm not praying for something that's not happening. It's already happening, amen? So this morning, I want to share with you a message entitled, Who's in Control? Who's in Control? And it's from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, and we'll get into that in just a moment. But have you noticed a human desire that people have is that they want to be in control? Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands this morning how many of you want to be in control. But the feeling of being out of control is quite scary, isn't it? And this is why I'm going to use a strong word here, hate going on amusement park rides, okay? I hate the feeling of being out of control, right? And now some of you are you might judge me when I say that because you're going to say, oh, that Trevor guy, he's a control freak. No. It's not that I'm a control freak, okay? It's not me at all. But I just hate the feeling of being not in control. So it sounds the same, but it's different. Now, I know that when you go to an amusement ride, I know that technically I'm safe because it's bad for business for people to get injured or die, okay? But we live in the age of the internet, and you're able to Google and go on YouTube or wherever and watch accidents on that. So there's possibilities. People have been injured or have passed away on an amusement ride. And so even though I know I'm safe, I know that I'm strapped in, I feel like I'm going to die. Anyone else kind of like that with me? Okay, so I married the complete opposite of a person. My wife loves going on rides. My oldest son goes on things that I can't even watch because of the way he's spinning and moving, and I'm like, I can't do that, okay? But my family, we saved up, we finally were able to take our family to Disneyland in 2023, okay? And my kids love rides, okay? They get that all from their mother, okay? They don't get any of it from me. And this is literally a picture I took when I was there, okay? I didn't just grab that off the internet. She loves going on rides, and I don't care what amusement park it is at. I don't like them, even at Disneyland. Did you know at Disneyland they call it the happiest place on earth, and you walk through the gates and there's kids crying all over the place? You know that? And I just think it's because of the rides. I'm just kidding. No. So I want to show you a picture of our family on Splash Mountain. So, okay. So this is my family. I have my oldest son, my middle daughter, and my youngest son. We decided to go on Splash Mountain. Here's the thing. I've been to Disneyland 3-4 times now in my life. I've probably been on this ride at least 10 times, okay? So family's like, let's go on it. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. And I have to get myself a little bit psyched up. It's actually quite a great ride, okay? You're in some water. You're going through this mountain. It's wonderful. But I love the ride. I love everything about the ride until the end, where there's a 52.5 drop at the end. And I always get nervous And the final plunge is equivalent to a five-story building. Did you know that? Let me show you the next picture, because this is, let me show you. This is my face now. Okay, now listen. You can see, on this picture here, my wife is flexing, okay, in the back. My son, my daughter's flexing. My youngest son right in front of me is having a great time. And normally I don't look like that. I do this scared look. I go like this. When I'm scared, I don't know why I do that. I just do that. But I knew there was a camera and there was going to be a picture. So I tried my best to look like I was happy. It looks like I'm going to die. Right? Now, I'm not going to tell you the story of a few days later when we went to Universal Studios and went on the Jurassic Park ride, which is an 85-foot drop, and they wanted me to sit in the front. I said, absolutely not. We sat in the second row. I won't tell you all about that story, but I'm not a fan. Have you ever been on a boat where you thought it was a little too rocky for comfort? Anyone been there? Okay, so ever felt seasick before? You had that motions, it's nasty, right? Maybe you've been on the BC ferries. Anyone been on? Okay. Of course we all have. And people always complain about the BC ferries, and I always say, oh, you get to go on a cruise today. Enjoy your cruise. And they look at me like I'm crazy. I'm like, it's beautiful out. I mean, it's nice, not long, you've been on the cruise, the ferry, and they say, today it's quite rocky. We ask you to sit down, and everyone doesn't. And then they're like, you know, when they're walking to the thing. And now we have the Hello Ferries in Nanaimo, which goes literally from downtown Nanaimo, right downtown Vancouver. It's a walk-on ferry, and it's wonderful, but they go fast, and I love it. I love getting right downtown. I can go to Canuck games that way. You can go right downtown Vancouver, right down to the White Sails, right, Canada Place, right there. That's where you go. But some days, because they're going quite fast, it gets a little rocky, and you need to, and they have beautiful seats and real nice opportunity there. But there's been times where people have felt sick on that because it's a smaller boat, not like big like a BC ferry. That's why I was worried to go on a cruise ship. By the way, isn't your pastor's on a cruise right now? Good for them. Okay, I was nervous to go on a cruise because I thought that I would get seasick, and these are massive boats, right? But there were a couple times where you could feel it, and it was nothing too bad. I mean, it's bad for business if everyone on the cruise ship gets sick, right? So they don't want you to be sick on there, but it happens. Remember one time as a young man graduating Bible college, my family had decided, well, this is it. This is our last family vacation officially. All of us boys were all going to be spreading out different places. So we decided to go on a Mexican vacation, all-inclusive Mexican vacation to Mazatlan. And so we went there, and we had this wonderful time together. And then there was a day where my dad and my brothers wanted to go on an excursion, and they wanted to go fishing for marlins. And I thought that sounded really good for them. And my mom's like, you know what, she's kind of like me. She's like, I'm going to stay here. You guys go enjoy. And I'm like, yeah, I need to be with mom, you know. And you guys go. And they went out on the boat, and it was beautiful out there. But then the swell started going up, and everyone was sick. And I'm so glad I stayed. And I was having guacamole and all the stuff. And they got back, I don't feel good. I'm like, of course you don't feel good. And so we felt that. But see, no one likes the feeling of being out of control. But often life is a scary place with tons of hazards, isn't it? And as I'd mentioned before, I'm going to be preaching out of the Gospel of Mark. And the written account of Jesus is considered, do you know this phrase? The gospel of action. You know that most people don't talk about the gospel of Mark. It's the smallest gospel of the four gospels, but it's called the gospel of action. Reread it. I'm telling you, it's an action-packed book, okay? It is fantastic. And so, even though it's the smallest of the four gospels, it has a lot to it. So we're going to be in chapter 6 today. And let me just really recap quickly for you some of the action points in just chapter 6. So Jesus is in his hometown, and he's disappointed by their lack of faith. And he sends out the disciples in pairs to preach to people, to repent, to cast out demons and heal the sick. And they go and do those things. Can you imagine Pastor Sue, Pastor Ralph comes back and says, hey, you know, we've heard from God, and we felt like God's speaking. So this week, we're going to pray for you, and then you're going to go, and you're going to preach the gospel to people for the next month. And wherever you go, work, on the streets, wherever. And I would like you also to call people to repent of their sins and cast out demons when you see them manifesting. And would you go and you need to heal the sick, okay? So on three, ready, break, and let's go. Like you're like, whoa, that's the pastor's job. That's not my job, right? Like, what are you talking about? I mean, maybe you should go back on your cruise and, you know... That's what Jesus did to his followers. And then we see that John the Baptist is in prison, he's beheaded for standing for God's holy standards. We've just seen that, hey? In this world, some crazy stuff that's happened. And then Jesus just happens to go and feed the 5,000. I told you it was the gospel of action. Look at all that has happened in that one chapter. And we know it wasn't just 5,000, that was just the men they counted. We're talking about women, children. It could have been upwards of 15, 20,000 people that were fed in that moment. These are miraculous, amazing things. But today we're going to land in Mark chapter 6, verse 45 to 51. And so let's get into it this morning. And it says, and immediately Jesus had, so this is right after the 5,000, right? Feeding the 5,000, 10, 15, 20,000, whatever the real number was there. And immediately Jesus had his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side of Bethsaida. And while he himself dismissed the crowd, and after saying goodbye to them, he left for the mountain to pray. Now, I just want to pause there in this passage because I want to ask you a question. What is the last time you took time to pray? Because let's be honest, if Jesus, being fully man and fully God, needed to pray, don't we as mere mortals need to pray? I mean, it's just a question we should ask, right? Why do we remain prayerless so often in our lives? Why are we not quick to pray? I've noticed that in my own life. There's so many times where like things got to get worse and worse and worse before I go to pray. Like, why don't I just have that Nash reaction just to stop and pray? And that's something I've been working on in my own life. Jesus went to the mountainside to pray without the disciples. See, he could get them on the boat. See ya. I'll meet you on the other side, right? And he goes up the mountainside to pray, to be with his heavenly Father. There's something precious about taking some time to pray, to talk with God. I always joke around, it's amazing how many coincidences, let me just say it again, coincidences happen when you start to pray. Have you noticed that? Did you notice that when you pray, God moves? Not a coincidence, is it? Especially when we pray with the right motives. I've seen people, I've been hanging out with people recently that have started to pray for the first times in their lives. They're like, I prayed, and the next day something happened. It's like, yeah. Because when we pray, we need to believe that God exists and that he does work. Amen? Sometimes we pray and say, well, Lord, I don't know if you have the time, if you're not busy. There's some things I'd like to, I don't know if I should share this with you, God. You know what I mean? It's like, it's kind of weird how we pray. Well, Lord, if you, you know, if it's your will, if you're not too busy, blah, blah, blah. See, I've come to realize that I don't believe in the power of prayer. And some of you are like, oh, gee, why did Pastor Ralph ask me to come? Okay, let me explain to you why I don't believe in the power of prayer. I believe in the God who has the power to move powerfully. So it's not my prayers that are powerful. It's my God who is powerful that I'm praying to. Amen? And that's what happens. So there's no power in my prayer, but I step out in faith, and then there's power because God meets us there and He does the work. I'll tell you a quick story. In our church in Nanaimo, we have a prayer room after the service. We ask people to go. It would be so crowded in our sanctuary if we had everyone come forward. So we go to the side room, and it has a view of the ocean. It's gorgeous. And this lady came up for prayer, and I said, "What can I pray for?" And she said, "Well, Pastor, if there's any disease that there's out there, I probably had it at some time in my life." You know, that's how discouraged was with all the things that had gone on in her life, all the diagnoses, all the challenges. She just was like, "I basically had it." You know, she was just, and she's like, "My body is feeling so sore. I didn't even know if I was going to make it here today." And she mentioned to me that even now, I'm not feeling good. And I literally said to her, "Have you been to the doctor recently?" And that's when she said, "Well, I've been to the doctor a lot." I said, "Okay, let's take some time to pray." And listen, I'm telling you right now, I just prayed in Jesus' name. I believed with her. I just prayed with her. That's it. It was nothing. There was nothing special that I did. And God met us there. And she said, "I cannot believe how good." Like she said, she started feeling better right there. And I'm telling you right now, I cannot take any credit. All I did was step out in faith and prayed and believed. That's it. That's all I did. We believed together, and miracles started taking place in her body right there. She's like, "This is the best I've felt all day." God met her right there in that prayer room. Let's go to verse 47. 48 says, "It was evening when the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he said, seeing them straining at the oars, for the wind was against them, it was about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, and he intended to pass them by." I don't know if you've seen that before, but so this story unfolds at the Sea of Galilee, okay, which lies in the lower portion of the Jordan Valley in a mountain range that rises to about 4,000 feet above sea level. The lake itself is about 700 feet below the Mediterranean Sea, and this body of water is greatly susceptible to sudden and extreme violent storms. You see it throughout Scripture there. These storms are caused by cold air rushing down from the mountains surrounding it and colliding with the warm, moist air rising off the surface of the water itself. And it says that in the night, they got in the boat and they started going across, okay? And then at the fourth watch of the night, does anyone know what the fourth watch of the night is? Terrible time. 3 to 6 a.m. Some of you might have gotten up in that time. I mean, that's not fun time to get up, right? You should be sleeping. We should all be sleeping. That internal clock wakes us up sometimes, right? So here it is. I always joke around when I was a youth pastor. I said, nothing good happens between 2 and 6 a.m. Don't go out anywhere. Just go to bed, right? Go to bed. Get in a lot of trouble between those hours as well, right? So I just joke around with them. I mean, I'm kind of joking, but I'm not. And it was the fourth watch of the night between 3 and 6 a.m. So they've been battling this storm all night long. And it says that Jesus intended to pass them by. What was his purpose of passing them by? What was the purpose of Jesus walking on water? He's like, "Go on the boat, I'll meet you on the other side," right? Was he just trying to display his divinity? Was he trying to say, I am who, like, listen, I am who you're talking about, the one, I am the Messiah, I'm the one." Like, they had never seen anyone walk on water before, right? And he just needed to get to the other side. Instead of going all the way around, it would take him so much longer. He says, "I'm just going to walk to the other side." I mean, wouldn't that be nice, right? That was the shortest route. And what did he say? What was his plan? He was planning on passing them by and saying, "Hey, what's up, my brothers?" Like, what? Think about this. YOLO. I don't know what he, You know what I mean? What was he going to say? Send her, bud. I don't know. And even though they were struggling, the plan had not changed. The plan was, "I'm going to meet you on the other side." He saw the wind. He saw the waves. He was going to pass them by. Did you know that God is not afraid of us being in the middle of a struggle? Nothing about the plan had changed. "I'm going to meet you over there, guys." The circumstances did change, but the plan had not. "We're going to go, we'll meet on the other side." And Jesus, it said that he intended to pass them by. And even if you feel like he's walked past you, the fact is he hasn't walked past them, because he saw them struggling and he went their way. And when you're struggling, I want you to know that God sees you and he goes after the ones who are following him and who are struggling. He's not passing you by when you're struggling. Isn't that good to know this morning? Verse 49, 50, it says, "But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost, and they cried out, for they had all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to, with them and said, 'Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid.'" So they thought this was a ghost. Do you believe in ghosts this morning? Because the disciples did, apparently. And they were afraid. Not only were they exhausted, now they're in the middle of the night, battling the wind and the waves, and they're worried. And then they see someone walking on water. They had never seen anyone walk on water. They didn't know that Jesus had this ability. And this was, it made them afraid. Of course it would. I mean, we look back and go, "I don't know what their big problem was." They didn't have the Bible to see and to hear, right? They were walking in biblical days. And they don't think it's Jesus, because they didn't think he could do that. And Jesus calms their fears and reveals it's him and says, listen to these statements again. "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." I want to ask a question this morning. Who here needs to hear that in their life today? That you're afraid of your present or your future, and Jesus would say to you, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Amen? Do you trust Jesus? See, who's in control of your life? People think it's themselves, right? Do you think you're in control of your life? But if we're honest, we're rarely in control of anything. In a moment, it could be a raging storm, or your life could be spinning out of control, literally. You could have been fired this week from your work, didn't see that coming. Maybe you got in a car accident. I almost got in one today driving down here. You know, it could be a diagnosis of whatever, sickness, cancer, whatever. You were going this way, and then all of a sudden your life changed in a moment. But the bigger question is, do you trust Jesus with your life, and do you trust Jesus with your future? They shifted their focus from the storm to Jesus, and guess what happened? Everything changed, right? So what people don't understand is this life is one massive faith journey. Faith is so important, isn't it, in your life? Now I want to show you this verse, okay? Now, I want to tell you, I capitalize the parts I want to emphasize. God is not yelling at you, okay? If you know anything about texting or email, if you just put things in capital letters, that means they're yelling at you. One time, a guy messaged me online, and everything was in cap lock, and I responded, "Are you yelling at me, or are you just, like, trying to, didn't realize the cap lock was on?" So, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." For the one who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he proves to be the one who rewards those who seek him. Amen? Oh, Gladys, I love this verse. It just gives me so much hope and encouragement that I want to be a person who walks in faith. I believe that he exists, but not only does he exist, he rewards those who seek him. Oh man, we're a people who seek him, amen? Let's be people who follow after the Lord, and he does incredible things. So what's God's will for my life? Many people have asked that question over their years. What's God's will? What's God's will? What should I do? Where should I go? What should I do? You know? It's God's will, says in Scripture, that you should be sanctified. Amen? That's God's will, that you walk in holiness. It's God's will that you be saved from sin, Satan, and hell. That's his will. He does not want you to go there. But it's God's will that you follow his Son, Jesus, our Savior, our Lord. It's his will that you will inherit eternal life in heaven. Amen? That's what he wants. That's what he desires. That's what everything's about, is that we can be with him for eternity. Amen? You know, I've been asked the question my whole life, how do you know God's will? How do you know God's will? And so, if we go to the next slide. What I've been learning is sometimes it's like driving in fog. If we're honest, you know, some people get up here and tell you, oh yeah, you just do these 6 steps and you'll walk in his will and you'll have no fear and no thing. And I've realized, as I've trusted Jesus with my life ever since, we're talking over 30 years now of following Jesus, that sometimes it's like driving in a fog, a real dense fog. Anyone driven in a dense fog before? Like the ones where you're white knuckling it because all you can see is just before you. You can see the yellow line barely and the white line barely, and all you can see is fog. You don't know what's ahead of you. You don't know if there's a car stop. You don't know if there's an animal ahead. You don't know what. Like, you just, that's just how thick it is. And sometimes it feels like that with God's will. And it's like, Lord, I don't know where you're taking me. I don't know where we're going. I can't even see in front of me. I can barely see down next week, never mind, you know, next year, right? And you're like, I just trust you. I'm just going to stay in my lane. Sometimes it's just good to stay in your lane, right? Today I was just trying to stay in my lane. Almost got in an accident, right? Just trying to stay in my lane, everyone. Everyone's like coming in and out and doing all this crazy stuff. And I'm like, oh, maybe I should get in that other lane. No, stay in your lane, Trevor. Stay in your lane. And then sometimes when you're following God and it's like when you're in that fog and you're driving, you're like, okay, I'm just gonna follow the road here. I'm just going to follow these lines. All of a sudden, the fog lifts a bit. You know when it does that? It's so cool. All of a sudden, you can see. Maybe you can see quite a few hundreds of meters, and all of a sudden, you're like, oh, there's the road turns up here, or oh, there's some vehicles turning here, or whatever it is, right? And it's like, kind of like, ah, I can see, and then the fog comes back dark, like, build dense again. It's like, oh, I don't know, and I'm like, you know, and that, you know, when the fog's like that, you're like this, right? Why do we always do this? Because we're concentrating, right? And sometimes it's like that with God. Sometimes he opens it up and shows us, here's where we're going, here's where we're headed, and it's like, it's wonderful. And then there's other times, like, I don't know where we're going. As a pastor, the amount of times that people said to me, Pastor, what's your plan? What's your vision for the church? What's your plan? What's your five-year plan? Your five-year plan. Okay, and I'm like, well, Lord, I want to know my five-year plan. The people are asking me for my five-year plan. I can barely remember last week, but I need your five-year plan, right? And so I think we're going this way. We're going in this sermon series, or we're just going to love people, try to disciple people, try to reach as many people for Jesus as possible. I'm just going to go in this direction because the Lord has laid that out in Scripture for us. And so it's like, okay, well, what are we going to do? What's the bells and whistles? What are the exciting things the church is going to do? And remember that time, that five-year plan. We think we know where we're going, right? Remember this year of 2020 and all the pastors and prophets and everyone was predicting, oh, this is a year of Jubilee. It's going to be year of harvest. And they had sermon series presented and they were going and they had all the graphics and all the things were planned and how exciting this 2020 was going to be. And then it was the year of breakthrough. No, it was the year of COVID and everyone got locked down. And the whole world changed in a matter of months, and it was completely different. And it's, Pastor, what's your five-year plan? Well, we're pivoting. We went from promise to pivot, right? And sometimes, I just didn't know. I don't know where we're going. And we are trying our best to navigate. Everyone in the world tried their best to navigate those days. No matter what you believed about all the things that were going, we all tried our best to serve, to encourage, to survive, to do all the things that we needed to do. So what I've learned is some faith lessons, and I want to show them to you. I think they'll be on the screen for you here. I want to encourage you that God is growing you in your faith. And it's a lifelong journey. It's a lifelong journey. I don't know if you realize this, but like for me, you know, I've been serving God for a long time. Many of you have served God for a long time, and God brings you through stuff, right? He brings you through stuff. So your faith grows. It's challenged. It's stretched. Just like when you work out, you're stretching your muscles, right? You're stretching your muscles. You're doing all those things. And he's stretching us in faith. And then you get to a place that no one will ever say it, okay? No one will ever say it. But we get to the stage that I'm a mature Christian now. And God's like, but I want to teach you some things. And they're like, okay, that's fine. I'm okay with that. Well, I want to teach you these things. But Lord, we've already gone through this. I'm mature now. No one will say this to you. I'll just tell you what everyone's thinking sometimes. It's like, but I don't know. Why would you? You don't know. Lord, go to some younger Christian right now and go teach them that. I've been here. He's like, no, I've got more to teach you in there. And it's like, oh, okay. Well, that's not, I've been through that, guy. It's not fun. It's not easy. No, I know it's not. I want to teach you some more about my character, my will, my plan. It's a lifelong journey, eh? A lifelong journey of faith. And then he cares more about your character than your circumstances. Did you know that? He cares more about your character than your circumstances. We care about our circumstances sometimes more than our character. We've got it backwards. He does not. And then he will stretch your faith all your life. He's building your faith. Listen, that's a good news. That's good news. He wants you to be strong in faith, not weak in faith. He wants you to be strong in the Lord, not weak. Okay? He doesn't want you to be walking just in doubts, but he wants you to walk in confidence in him. In him. Right? By the way, I feel like I'm yelling. I've got two volumes. It's on and off. Okay, so my apologies. I'm not yelling. I'm just excited to share God's word with you today. And so, some people only follow Jesus if their life goes well. If it goes their way, they'll be faithful. That's not how it works. What kind of faith is that? Because he's going to stretch us all of our life. He's building us, amen. So trust me, with all the ups and downs in life, God is faithful. Trust me, with all the challenging circumstances and disappointing moments, God will prove to you his faithfulness. Amen. Oh, it's so good. Let's go to that last verse of this passage that we're diving into today. It says, then Jesus got into the boat with them, and the wind stopped. And they were utterly astonished. Not only were they surprised that he was walking on water, he gets in the boat and the storm stops immediately. Wow. This reminds me of Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 44. Two chapters before in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus and his disciples are going to the other side of the sea, and a fierce storm and a fierce wind arises, and some of the disciples are afraid. And what was Jesus doing? Does anyone remember? He was sleeping in the boat. Some of you know what that's like. you're up worried and your spouse is sleeping. How annoying. Stay up with me and worry and your spouse is sleeping. I had a great sleep, honey. How was yours? I was up all night worried. Well, why would you do that? It's not your marriage. It might just be mine. Right? I don't know, right? It's like, it's that thing that we do, right? Jesus is sleeping in the boat, and literally there's a storm. I'll tell you something I've learned about fishing. You don't have to get worried about being on a boat until the fishermen are afraid. If the fishermen are afraid, I'm getting afraid, because they've been on the boat. They know what it's like. They've been in some storms, amen? But when the fishermen get afraid, I need to get afraid. And the fishermen were afraid, but Jesus was sleeping in the boat. And they're so annoyed with Jesus. And Jesus is sleeping, and they wake him up. And they say this, literally said this, "Do you not care that we are going to die?" Have you ever wondered what God's up to in your life? You're saying, "God, wake up. I'm here on death's door." And he's like, "Why are you worried? I'm with you. Why did you lose all that sleep? Because I'm with you. God, there's some bad things going on in my life. I feel like I'm alone. I feel like I'm out in the middle of a storm and you're just intending to pass me by." And he's like, "Don't worry. I'm here." He gets up out of his sleep, out of his nap. Still a wild thing. And he literally says two words. He says, "Be still. Be still. Be still." Amen? And the winds die down and it becomes perfectly calm. And Jesus says, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" We're talking two chapters later. They're in a boat. And the wind and waves are going crazy. This time they're afraid. Why? Jesus isn't with them. They're like, "This is different." And guess what? Jesus walks on water, and as he's intending to pass them by, he notices they're struggling, and he goes to them, amen? You feel like God's been passing you by? That he doesn't care? That he's not there? Have you ever felt, don't raise your hands. Other churches, right? Other churches, those Christians, they would be afraid. They would be worried. I don't know, it's all of us, right? We sometimes are like, "God, where are you?" And he's like, "I'm right here. I'm right here." He proves his divinity by calming the storm twice. He proves his divinity by walking on water, on the stormy seas. He's walking on top of the storm. He walks on top of the challenges. Isn't like Jesus is struggling. He's just walking. Isn't that cool? Gets in the boat and they're utterly astonished. And so as I conclude today, your life is a journey of faith. It's a lifetime of discovering who God is. That's part of the relationship, right, that we have. A lifetime of relationship. And Jesus proved himself to be in command even of the elements, something only God can do. He revealed this truth to disciples for him to recognize that he is from God. He is divine. Jesus said, "In this life, you will have no trouble." Oh, no, wait a minute. He said, "We'll have trouble." Oh, Jesus, couldn't you have just said something else, right? He says, "In this life, you have trouble. What storms have you gone through? What storms are you going through right now? What roller coaster are you on? What storms are coming on?" And maybe you're on a roller coaster ride right now in your life, and you're like, "I feel like I'm going to die." Fear not. I know you feel like you're out of control, but even though we'll walk through trouble or storms, we really do have nothing to fear, right? Because he is with us. He didn't promise that it will go the way we want it to go, but his presence is absolutely powerful. And he has overcome the world. Amen? So I love it that we serve a miraculous God. Right? Who can walk on water, who can calm storms, who can heal the sick and cast out demons and rise from the dead. That's who we serve. This is the God we follow. We serve a present God. Even when you don't feel him around, he is with you. It's his promise. He will never leave us or forsake us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when you're struggling, he comes to you. He comes to you. You know, there's a passage in Psalms that says he's close to the brokenhearted. Well, you might not feel him in that moment, but he's right there. Even in your grief, even in your pain, he's not afraid of the mess. Amen? He's with you. He's with you. And we know we will all die one day, but we will be in glory. It's not our end. We're not just going to go rot in some grave. We are going to be with the Lord. I mean, someone needs to hear that today, be reminded of that today, that he has a plan. He's in control. Hallelujah. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. He said, also believe in me. And life is rocky. It's full of ups and downs, isn't it? And you aren't in control. I'm sorry, newsflash, you and I are not in control. We're in control very little. And it's okay to, and it's even healthy, I would say, to dream and to plan ahead. But can I give you some advice today? Hold your plans loosely and hold on to faith in Jesus tightly. God is faithful. I need to say that again. God is faithful. Hold on to him. And he won't leave you or forsake you. He's got a plan. You can trust him. And he's going to see you through. There are lessons that we need to learn. Your faith needs to be built up, and don't let go of God. Amen? I'm a chaplain at an addiction center. Been there for 7 months now. And I literally listen to people's life stories every day, all day, and I've heard some of the worst stories you've ever heard. I thought as a pastor I'd heard a couple bad stories. Nothing has prepared me for the position that I'm in, to sit down with people and listen to their stories. And my goal is to bring encouragement and hope. I help people with these two big words called guilt and shame. Everyone who walks through our doors has massive guilt and massive shame for how their life has gone. Hurt, trauma, pain, grief. You wouldn't believe, and some of you know what that's like. And so I get to listen, and I bring courage and hope, and I bring up those spiritual conversations with people and just ask. And I'm there in the middle of the mess. You know what? I've learned in my life, I'm not afraid of the mess. You know what? God is not afraid of the mess either. Sometimes we come to church and we think everyone else has it all together. What's wrong with my life? Listen, there's nothing wrong with your life. You're normal. If you live in Canada, you got some mess. Right? If you're human, you got some mess. There's no family is perfect. Not one. Not one. Okay? We know the devil is out to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to give us life and life to the full. Amen? And so here I am sitting down with people, listening to their stories, bringing hope and encouragement. And every morning in our program, people are there for 50 days. There's someone who's being given away. They're graduating from their 50 days, and we do a graduation ceremony every morning. Someone gets up and appear and gives them away and says, here, this is what I appreciate about Jimmy or Susie or whoever, right? And that person gets up and says thank yous and what they're grateful for and gives a little bit of advice to the newcomers. And then when all the giveaways are done, all the speeches are done every morning, we pray the Serenity Prayer together. Have you heard that one? It's kind of famous. Let me just share it with you today. And I don't want this prayer in my life, when I hear it every day, to just be just quoting another repeated, memorized prayer. But I try to pray it sincerely. It says, God, grant me... Oh, by the way, it's so awesome. We have like a room full of people. We're talking like 70 to 90 people every day that are in our center. Okay? It says, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That's what we do every day there. Isn't that a great prayer for us to pray sometimes? God, grant us the serenity to accept the things that we cannot change, and the courage to change the things we can. And I want to know the wisdom to know the difference. Amen? Let's stand together. I don't want to just, preach a message and pass this moment by, but there's been moments in our lives, and maybe you're even feeling it right now, you're nervous about the present or the future. You're wondering where God is in some of this. And this was a message that he got me to drive all the way down from Nanaimo to share with you. So let's just take a moment to remember this. That our God is faithful. Lord, we just recognize your presence right now. Thank you, Phil, that you are here. We thank you for your word. We thank you for these stories. These aren't fairy tales. These are things that actually happened. So we could learn from them. Lord, it's easy to listen to a message. Sometimes it's hard to apply it to our lives. Let us not just be hearers of the word, but doers. Lord, I just stop and say right now with my life, and I hope everyone can say this with their life, we trust you. That we don't have to be in control. We thank you, Lord, that you give us the opportunity to make decisions. Lord, we thank you that you believe in us. You want us to enjoy life. You want us to be in this life. But we know, Lord, there's trouble that comes. There's also times of peace and joy. And we appreciate those times as well. But Lord, whether it's a storm or a sunny day, we just want to stop and say, we trust in you. My life is yours, Lord. It's not my will, but it's your will be done. And Lord, it's easy to say, God, I want to live it. We want to live it today. We want to follow you with our lives, not just for a few months, a few years, or most of our lives, and walk away. No, we are your children, and you are our God. So Jesus, would you build our faith today? Whether we're in a storm or outside of a storm, Lord, we trust you. We need you. God, we're just so thankful that you're present with us, that the Holy Spirit is in this place right now, ministering to hearts and lives. There's people in here right now that are so afraid, and the worry and the anxiety is overwhelming at times. Lord, I pray peace be with them. Peace. Peace. Lord, that you know what you're doing. And you don't have to consult us, God. We're not a part of the planning committee here. You are the planning committee. And we're just thankful that you promised that you're going to say, I'm going to walk with you no matter what the challenges are. Even death will not separate me from you. Thank you, God. We have nothing to be afraid of. But Lord, there's lots of things to be worried about. Doesn't matter about life, family, job, relationships, Lord. There's so much to worry about in the government or in our country, in the state of the world. But Lord, we just stop right now and we just say, you are sovereign. You are sovereign, not us. And even if we don't know how the plan's going to go, we trust you. thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Isn't it good to know? I'm going to invite our worship team to come. And thank you. Thank you. Amen. They're on a cruise and relaxing, enjoying life, and we can do that too. But they love you and they care about you. God bless you. I don't know how many songs you want to sing. Maybe just a concluding or something. I don't know. I'm going to leave that in your hands. You guys are way better than me at that. If I led worship, everyone would leave. Okay, so.